Hello, good morning. Welcome to Pause to Pray. My name is Adam Schindler, and I am coming to you today from Cedar Hill, Texas. I'm at a prophetic global summit consultation conference thing with Generals International, Cindy Jacobs, and her crew. Been out here for a couple of days. We're doing worship and prayer and just the time to meet with other spiritual prophetic leaders from around the country. It's been a wonderful time being here in Cedar Hill, Texas. Outside of the church right now, you hear the little streams burbling in the background. This is a beautiful place here in Cedar Hill, Texas. I think it's called Trinity Church here. Just visiting for a few moments for a conference. So we're on a mid-session break. Becca Greenwood just talked and she was great. But I am stopping today to pause to pray in the middle of this prophetic conference that I'm at, to pray over something that got released last night. So some of y'all are jumping on. Welcome. Thank you for praying from West Texas, Tennessee, faithful Million Voices friends. Glad that you guys are with us here today. If you're just joining us, I'm in Cedar Hill, Texas at a prophetic conference called the Global Prophetic Summit. I came out here with some friends earlier in the week. And it was great to see a bunch of friends. But today I want to talk about something that was released last night by John and Jolene Hamill. They're friends of ours. They live right across the street from the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. They've got a great ministry called Lamplighters. And they've been talking. They spent some time with Lou Engle a couple of days ago. He's been here with us. Talking about what they feel like the Lord is doing and what he's building right now in the earth, because we all recognize, and this has been some of the common theme from these prophetic leaders that are here, Bishop Garlington, Bishop Joseph Garlington, Bishop Bill Hammond, Cindy Jacobs, Becca Greenwood, John and Jolene Hamill, friends and other prophetic leaders from Europe and Scotland and the UK and France and Israel and Latin America. All of these people are hearing very similar things, that there is a brand new season. We've walked through the years of the eyes and the ears and the voice, and we're coming now into a place where God is establishing something new. But we understand that that new thing is coming with some justice of God. The conference, I'm seeing a comment, Global Prophetic Summit. Generals International, Cindy Jacobs Ministry. I think they're live streaming it. Y'all can watch some of it. It goes on today and tomorrow still. But what was I saying? Oh, about the new thing. Like, there's a new season, and that's an easy prophetic word, right? You're coming into a new season, and huge amounts of money are going to pass through your hands. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. It's a favorite charismatic prophetic word. But man, I'm telling you, there is a new thing. There is a new birth of freedom. There is something that is right here upon us. And Stephanie yesterday talked a little bit about it. We did the 11/11 Mayflower Compact remembrance, and that the pilgrims wouldn't get off, getting attacked by a bee here. The pilgrims wouldn't get off the boat until they were underneath a covenant, because they were outside of their legal mandate from the King of England. And so God is not going to birth you into the new thing, and he's not going to birth our nation into the new thing until we are under the covenant. Okay, we don't get to come in lawlessness or outside of God's purposes to create and do the new thing that God is doing. Okay, and so that's a personal word for me, and that's a word for y'all. If God is moving in you into a new thing, get under his covenant. Come in alignment with his covenant word, his covenant promise, because you cannot be birthed into the new thing if you are outside of the covenant. The days of giving birth to things that don't come from God are over. The hour is dark. The enemy is encroaching. They're coming for our children. They're seeking to jab them, to indoctrinate them in the education system, to entice their worship away with the entertainment stuff, the things that are being placed out in mass media for them to consume. Y'all, the Canadians are going through this intensely, having their children taken away and having the state say that we own your kids, essentially, because you're not doing the right thing with their health care. Y'all, we know the days are dark, but God, okay? We know the days are dark. It doesn't take a prophetic word to see that. But God is doing a new thing, and he is about to break out and break through the darkness. But that breakout and breakthrough does not happen unless you are in the covenant, okay? You are submitted to the covenant promise and the covenant word of the Lord. Okay, and so this thing that got released yesterday, and I know I'm all over the place. I've been in the prophetic swirl with Lou Engle. You know, if you know Lou, you got that joke. Squirrels. Oh, so the thing that got released last night was specifically about what they're calling, what John and Jolene Hamill and Chris Mitchell are calling Turnaround Tuesday. Okay, and it's a catchy title. They're all about the turnaround. If you follow them, I encourage you, follow Lamplighter Ministries. They're great. We'll be doing more on my channel with the Lamplighter family soon. But Turnaround Tuesdays is about the word in Malachi that God is sending the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons. So I actually got my iPad out here today so I don't have to make up Bible verses. So I'm going to read this to you. If I can find it. So I want to read you this final stuff in Malachi, verse 3. You guys probably know it, but I want to read this to you. This is Malachi chapter 4, okay? Verses 1 through the end. For behold, the day of the Lord is coming, burning like an oven, when all of the arrogant and all of the evildoers will be stubble, okay? When God comes to establish his covenant and restore hearts to fathers and sons, first he comes and he judges wickedness, okay? That is part of the justice and the righteousness of God. Verse 2, the day is coming that will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. For those of you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out leaping like calves from the stall. There's so much beautiful prophetic stuff in this. And you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord. Okay, I could squirrel out into those. The soles of the feet, the healing, and the sons of righteousness with healing in its wings. That's about the tallit. The edges of the tallit were called the wings. And it's about coming underneath the covering in the presence of God. Okay, but this is context for the word that I want to share is verse 4. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter desolation. Okay, you guys know this passage, I think. But God is coming. He's saying, I'm coming to act inside of your culture, in your world. Okay, this is not just a theological, positional, substitutionary atonement statement. This is, I am coming to act. Okay, because I am coming to confirm the covenant that I made with Moses at Horeb. I am coming to act on the day that I act, says the Lord. Okay, but his day of action is about sending ahead of time Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the fathers. Now, there's a lot that can be said about that. John the Baptist prepared the way for the Messiah that came. There's multiple levels of fulfillment. But the thing that got released yesterday was about remembering this covenant promise that God is restoring the fathers and the sons and the daughters back to him. And that it's a spirit of Elijah that comes to do that. Okay? Two more things about that, and then we're going to pray, okay? Sorry for the ramble. I find it interesting that the spirit of Elijah is the one that restores the hearts of fathers to the sons. Because if you look at the life of Elijah, he doesn't do a lot of that, right? He's the lone prophet out in the wilderness, fighting the prophets of Baal and taking on the prophets of Asherah. And this whole Carmel scene, his showdowns with Jezebel. You know, that whole Mount Carmel scene when he does this showdown with the prophets and calls down God and mocks their God and, you know, makes fun of them saying, is your God going to the bathroom? Is that why he's not showing up? Read it. That's in there. So Elijah's this power encounter, fierce warrior for God, who after he has the showdown on Carmel, he's terrified that Jezebel's going to come and get him. He flees into the wilderness, bemoans the fact that he's the only prophet left in all of Israel that listens to God, which wasn't true. And then God sends ravens to feed him. But here's the catch, y'all. God sends Elijah to Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai is another name for it. Back to the place of the covenant of Moses. When Elijah feels like all is lost, he gets sent back to Mount Sinai, to a cave there, to remember the covenant of Moses. And it's there that God shows up to him in a whirlwind, in a fire, and an earthquake. Okay, but he doesn't see God in any of those places. And this is in 1 Kings 19, verse 14. So God shows up in all these ways, but then it's the still quiet voice. Okay, I promise I'm going to connect all this. There's a still quiet voice that God speaks to Elijah. And in this still quiet voice, this is the conversation that he has. When Elijah heard it, the voice, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. Why did he do that? Why did he wrap his face? Well, man, he could feel the presence of God. And the last time that God showed up in a presence there, Moses was hidden in a cleft of the rock and he couldn't see the Lord. And so Elijah's like, man, I'm going out to see God, but I don't want to get struck dead. So he wraps his cloak in his face like Moses did. These things are connected. And he stands at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice from him. And he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? This is God in 1 Kings 19, verse 13. He asked Elijah, why are you here? What are you doing here? Why are you running alone? Why have you come to the mountain? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. There he goes, repeating that line. They seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and some other things. So here's this moment. Elijah is talking with God and he says, I'm here because my nation has abandoned the covenant of God. I'm here because my nation has torn down the altars of God and they have erected their own altars, their own high places. I'm here, Elijah says, it's because the people of God are being killed that have the word of God, and that the culture that I live in now is seeking to persecute me, who has the words of the Lord. Y'all, I don't know about you, but I didn't think we'd be here in America. But we are moving into this place very, very quickly. When we have abandoned the covenant of God, we have torn down as a nation the high places, the foundations, the moorings that have grounded us in the covenant truth and the blessings of this nation. We have abandoned those things, the nuclear family, the understanding about sexuality, the understanding about Israel, the understanding about our submission to God. We've abandoned these places. And Elijah says the same thing to God. He's like, this is where we are. This is why I'm here. And God doesn't say, you know, you're right. That culture of yours is really dark and bad. Like, he doesn't give him any of that stuff. This is what he says. He says, basically, okay, return back to the place that you fled from. And when you arrive, I need you to do two things. Anoint two kings to set them into power, and then anoint a prophet, Elisha, to take your place. That's his instructions from God. So think about this. Elijah goes with this existential angst. He's the only one left. He cries his heart out to God, saying all this problem in culture. And God says, okay, go anoint two kings and one prophet. That's your answer. I'm going to put a bow on this now. When we cry out to God, complaining about the state of our nation because we've abandoned his covenant, he says, well, you know what you need to do is you need to put godly leaders in their place. Anoint two kings. You need to actually put godly leaders back in your nation. Hello, church. And then I want you to build out a legacy in your own life. Okay, stop being the lone prophet that just cries out to me at the mountain. Anoint your replacement. Build out a team. Build out a legacy. Okay? So if we have a problem with our nation, we need to get godly rulers in place and we need to begin building legacy. How do we build legacy? Well, this is the spirit and the power of Elijah that turns the hearts of the fathers to the sons. What is the power of Elijah? It's the power that takes on the Jezebel spirits and culture, that anoints rulers and builds a legacy of teaching and training the next generation. Okay, and God is coming in power with the spirit of Elijah to tear down the altars of Baal and Asherah, to tear down the places that this Jezebel spirit has run our nation. And he's calling us to build up the next generation of people, to build a legacy. And this is what is going to turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers. So, man, that's a big ramble, but I just want to pray now for this upcoming initiative, Turnaround Tuesday. You'll be hearing more about it. I'll be promoting it as it gets developed with Lou Engle and John and Jolene Hamill and other people. I think this is going to be a global prayer movement, because we cannot let the enemy have our children. Okay, we cannot let them. And God has a solution, but we have to do what the spirit and power of Elijah did. Anoint godly rulers and build legacy in our generations to take care of and tend for the children. So watch for more of this, but I want to pray right now for the hearts of the sons and the daughters to be turned back to the fathers. And this is not just dads playing catch with their sons. Okay, this is a covenantal restoration of the place of the father in culture, the place of mother in culture, a place of the rootedness of the family that is not just preserving primitive archaic values, but they are imparting life and destiny and God's truth into their families. So would you guys pray right now for mothers and fathers to be built up, restored, and turned to their children? And then we're going to pray for children, and then we're going to pray for this initiative. So three things today. First, we're going to pray for moms and dads, number one, two for the kids, and three, we're going to pray for this initiative. So living God, we thank you, Jesus, Father, that you have a divine solution for every darkness that comes to assault us, Father. And it's only the only thing missing from this equation of moving in power with your solution is submitting, asking you and submitting to what it is you're calling us to do. So, Father, we thank you, Jesus, that we are in a now moment in a new season, God, that we cannot acquire for ourselves, but we get through submission to the covenant. Father, when we say in this day, Father, that as you send out and pour out in this season, in this nation, the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons and the daughters back to the fathers, Father, we pray right now for mothers and fathers, Father, for the places in their lives that are so difficult, Father, whether it's that relationship between mom and dad, whether they're continually married or whether they've separated, God, but the relationships, we pray, God, for the fractured marriages that are wrestling so profoundly with how they love their children or whether they continue to stay engaged or not. Father, I pray right now for all of the fractured marriages that are in the final death throes, it feels like, of divorce. Father, we thank you, God, that you have a solution to the brokenness. Father, and not every solution is the same, but I pray right now for the marriages that are in chaos that feel like they're on the edge of divorce. And we declare in Jesus' name that there isn't just a peacekeeping, there is a peacemaker that's coming into your marriage right now. There's a peacemaker that is the third corded strand in your relationship. Father, we pray for marriages right now that are on the edge of the divorce, and we declare restoration in Jesus' name, not just to keep the marriage together for the children or for the business or for the church or the elder board, but we declare that marriage will stay together because it's restored into the fullness of what God has designed marriage for. We ask for a creative miracle in the brain that some of these relationships are in turmoil because there is physical trauma that resides in the body and is being held and stored in the brain. So I speak right now to those that are plagued with trauma and PTSD from abuse and moments in their lives that are causing relationships. Father, I ask right now in Jesus' name that you would heal the minds, you would heal the chemical imbalance, you would heal all of the things that go on neurologically, Father, with the systems in the mind. We ask God for healing right now in Jesus' name of the mind's neurological, electrical, chemical systems for those that are in trauma and it's driving them apart from their spouses. We call right now for healing in Jesus' name over your mind. Release the Spirit of God, the kingdom of heaven, the peace and the power of the Holy One of Israel over your mind right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that as you heal bodies and open up minds, Father, that there's a chance now for the hearts to be melded back together. Father, we pray for restoration of the marriages, God, that are in chaos. Father, that you would come in your beauty, your love, and your kindness and restore them. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, O Lord. We bless you, Father. Father, I pray also right now for people that are single, that are not in a marriage relationship, whether they've never been or whether they are in between or living in the pain of being left. Father, we pray right now, God, that your love and your presence in your spirit is a deep and abiding peace. Father, that your spirit is deep and abiding peace. So Father, we ask for your spirit to come right now in Jesus' name and implant that deep and abiding peace in us. Father, for those that are longing to have relationships but just can't find one, Lord Jesus, we pray, God, that you would call in, Jesus, the love that you have in store for them in season, God. But we just call out because I know that there are a bunch of men that are running from God and their hearts are not available because they are running from God. So Father, we pray for the men that are running from God, that whose hearts are going to be knit together with their wives that they don't yet know, or maybe they do. But we declare in Jesus' name that the men that are running from God would stop and turn around and receive the word from the Lord that he has a purpose and a plan for your heart to come alive. And it's not in your job, in your car, or your golf game. It is in the submission to Jesus and the new love that is available when you come into alignment with him. So we just call those men home in Jesus' mighty name. I want to pray now for our children. Father, we lift up our children to you, God, children that are in the public school system, Father, in all different parts of the U.S. and Canada. Let's pray for Canada too, y'all. Man, we pray for our children, God, that are continually getting encroached upon, Father, and that there are children, God, that are being lied to about healthcare and their hearts are stopping and they're being lied to about sexuality and their minds are getting twisted. They're being lied to about the kingdom of God and their spirits are coming under bondage. Father, so we pray right now in Jesus' name for those godly teachers and administrators inside of education systems and those godly administrators and healthcare workers inside of healthcare systems. Father, we pray a spirit of power over them in Jesus' name, that they would speak and act with boldness, God, that they would recognize the moment that they're in, Father, and that they would not bow to the very dark pressures of the Jezebel spirits, but they would stand like Elijah did on the mountain, and they would pour water as the water is being heaped on the sacrifice. They would cry out for the consuming fire of God to come and demonstrate his power and his authority in the healthcare and the education system. Father, we pray for those men and those women that are leading in those areas, God, that you would give them courage. You would protect their finances. You would protect their spirits, Father, and that you could set them on the rescue mission, God, to rescue the children that are being seduced and entrapped by the demonic powers that lie and steal. Father, we pray for those children, God, that have received something that didn't come from you. We ask, God, right now, against their will, against their understanding, Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you would sever off any child that has been filled with a substance that doesn't come from God. We pray, God, that you would sever that out of their bodies, that you would remove anything that is causing damage and harm, that you would sovereignly, divinely protect them, Jesus. They didn't choose it. They didn't know. Father, we pray, God, that you would take care of the hearts of the young ones. Father, while they're being abandoned by so many things, that you would sovereignly go and take care of them. Just like you said in Ezekiel, that the shepherds of Israel are not taking care of the children. So I myself am coming to shepherd. We pray that, Jesus, for the children that have parents or guardians that are not taking care of them. We declare in Jesus' name, Jesus, go and divinely, sovereignly care for them. Care for them, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, that you are coming and you are not just inspiring us, breathing life into us, which you are doing, but you are also aligning us on the day that you act. Just like you said in Malachi, God, your word isn't just a word, it's a deed too. So Father, I pray that you would teach us how to align in action behind your words so that the words that have spirit and life would manifest in the culture and that your body would learn how to take action, to stem the tide and to push back the darkness. But more than that, God, to radiate the light and power of God. So Father, we pray, living God, for all of these families, God, that are represented on people. And I'm seeing y'all's comments saying, please pray for my family. And so we do, Liddy, we pray for your family. Father, we declare in Jesus' name that what the enemy meant for good, enemy meant for evil, God is gonna turn around for good. And that there has been division and separation in your family. And you look at it and you say, all hope is lost. You're hearing that in your head. But God says to you, the family is not lost. It may be divided, but it is not destroyed. And just like Paul said, that I have been beaten and bruised, but not, you know, afflicted, but not destroyed. That's a great passage. I wish I remembered it. But he's been beaten and abused, but he's not been destroyed. And we just declare in Jesus' name over your family that it is not destroyed, that there is coming a turnaround and a revelation and a love of Jesus. And Father, we pray right now for Alvin or Alvine, however you say it, dear friend. We pray right now, Father, who's facing an existential threat at work, Jesus. We pray, God, that the purposes of God that are not yet completed for their time at that place would continue on. And we ask, Jesus, that you would stay the hand of an angry, vengeful leader in their workplace, that you would stay their hand right now in Jesus' name, Father, and that the action of retribution would not take place. And I pray also, God, that you would stir up Alvine, however you say it, friend, that you would stir them up, God, to not be afraid of the threat of punishment and to act and work in a capacity that they've never been able to act and work before. I pray, God, that you would increase capacity, increase dedication, increase motivation and output, that they could be transformed in their workplace in Jesus' mighty name. So we just bless you, Father. I thank you, God, that you are moving, Father, and that in the midst of culture, you are coming with your power to turn hearts of fathers and sons back to you, Father. And we thank you. I do want to pray. I see that, Wendy. I want to pray specifically for you, for spouses right now in Jesus' name that need to come to know the Lord. Many of you are married to a man that you love, and they are still in the journey towards Jesus. So, Father, we pray right now for the husbands that are represented on this call from our live viewers and those that watch after. We pray, God, for the husbands that don't yet know you. We ask Jesus in your precious name, Father, that you would draw them home. Father, the word says that nobody comes to the Father except through the Holy Spirit that draws them. So we pray a release of the Spirit of Jesus over the husbands, Father, that you would draw them home. they would have encounters with your love, that they would see the kindness and the goodness of God demonstrated in their faithful spouses, that are not doormats, but they are guardians of the kingdom of God. And I just declare that over you, Wendy. You are not a doormat to be walked on. You are a guardian of the kingdom of God. And that you stand at the gate and you herald the coming of the king into your husband's life. And do not think that you have a lesser or a lower place. That is the enemy that is coming to tell you you are a doormat. That is not the case. You are a guardian and a gatekeeper of the kingdom of God in your family. And you will see the redemption, the things that are promised to you. We bless you, Father. We love you, Daddy. Oh, man, I just keep going, but I'm getting hot, and I think the session is going again. So thank you for joining with me. I'm just going to stop. So thank you for joining with me today in prayer out here at the Babylene Brookside at Trinity Church. That's the water that you're hearing. I'm going to go back into this conference, receive some more from prophetic leaders and what the Lord is saying. It's good to just get away sometimes, get refreshed, and to hear what everybody else is saying. You know, it's encouraging to know that the junk that we're going through, we're not going through it alone. Okay? And that we didn't just find ourselves here because we're bad people, right? We're in the rhythms of what God's doing in the earth, y'all. We're in the rhythms of what God's doing in the earth, okay? And we don't know the outcomes, but we know the one who's leading us. So we thank you for being with us today. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Hello, Poochie Lee, friend from the UK. We love you, appreciate you. Thank you guys for joining us. Shabbat shalom. If you haven't, go to millionvoices.org, sign up for our newsletter. We got Giving Tuesday coming up here in a couple of weeks. Everything we do here at Million Voices is supported by donors. We don't ever talk about that because you are our prayer people. But if you want to get engaged, go to millionvoices.org, sign up, and you will hear some more about how to get engaged financially if you want to contribute to what Million Voices is doing. Love you guys. Thanks for joining. Shabbat shalom. Bye.